Much for that beautiful anointed singing, as you always do. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me two places? First of all, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And after you find that, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading there at verse 17. First, Genesis chapter 22. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, It shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And now quickly, let's go to Hebrews 11. Chapter 17, which is a reiteration and an encapsulation of the great story we just read, Hebrews 11:17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed, or thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of obedience, faith, and the blessing of God. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, I ask, first of all, for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to wash over me. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint me mightily, and that, Lord Jesus, your word would be made clear and be made a blessing unto your people. As always, Lord, we come knowing our lack. But, Lord, we know that with the divine enablement of your Spirit, much good will be accomplished in the lives of your people. Bless the preaching of your word today. Enable me to preach it in a way that will bring Jesus Christ honor and glory, and will not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Tony Evans is a minister in Dallas, Texas, who is a great preacher of the gospel. He founded an urban ministry in the middle of downtown Dallas that reaches out to the drug addicts and the destitute of that city. Great man of God. God has used him in powerful ways to minister to the down and out folks of that city. He relates a story of his fear of being on an elevator. And I've noticed sometimes at work that folks get a little bit afraid of the elevator with me when I'm on it, because those elevators there are not the best in the world, and I'm not the smallest of people. So I can identify with Brother Evans. I'm not afraid of them, but he said he's always been afraid of being stuck, was afraid of being stuck on an elevator. It's always been a secret fear of his. And he ministers also to a lot of the businessmen in downtown Dallas, so he was frequently on elevators and in the high rises of Dallas, Texas. Well, sure enough, you do anything long enough, your greatest fear is probably going to come upon you like that. And one day, as he was going to visit a businessman who was going to make a significant donation to his ministry to help him minister to the destitute of the city, a crowded elevator with about 12 people on it stopped suddenly. And he said all around him people began to scream and holler and yell as the little emergency light came on in the elevator, and it was still very dimly lit. People began beating the walls in fear and screaming, and no one could hear them. They were in an elevator shaft. He said as great fear gripped his heart at first, he said he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and began to pray. I said, "Lord, please help me. I'm really afraid right now." I'm going to stop right there and say something for just a moment. Perfect faith does not mean the absence of fear. Really, faith acts in the face of fear and believes beyond whatever fear we may be experiencing. But as Pastor Evans cried out to the Lord on that elevator, he said, "Lord, help me. Help me. I'm fearful. All these people around me are losing their minds, and you're the only one I know who can get us out of here." He said all of a sudden, as he was to the front of the elevator standing there, off to his right hand was a little box. And it said, "Telephone to front desk." And he opened that box and picked up the phone and was immediately in contact with the people at the front desk, who within moments got the maintenance crew going, got the elevator moving, and got them off of that elevator. And I thought, how like us that is, that whenever the situations of this life confront us, the first thing we need to do is call upon Jesus. And He'll always make a way out for us. Even in spite of our fear, even if we're living in a place of fear, He's a God of great grace and mercy. And if we'll call on Him, He'll make a way for us. He will bless us. He will open up avenues of blessing to us that we never thought possible if we'll just, in faith believing, call upon the name of the Lord. This story we read this morning from Genesis chapter 22 is one of the most beautiful illustrations of obedient faith that brings about the blessing of God in a person's life that I believe we can find in Scripture. Many of you know the story of Abraham. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, an idol-making family, and said, "Abraham, go to a place that I'll show you, but I'm calling you to leave everything." And Abraham obeyed the Lord. That's key. If you want the blessing of God in your life, the first step with the Lord is always obedience. We must obey what He tells us to do. And if we'll obey what He's telling us to do, let me tell you this. Before the Lord blesses anyone greatly, He must break them mightily in the sense of their trust in their own ability. And that's where Abraham was at. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and said, "I'm going to make a great nation out of you." And you know, initially, Abraham and Sarah thought, well, if God's going to do this, it'll have to be done through us. And they brought in Hagar the handmaiden, and Abraham had relations with her, which brought about Ishmael. And that's the reason you have the trouble in the Middle East this very second in time, because all the Arab nation came from Ishmael. But God said, no, I'm going to bring about my promise through my power, and human effort will have no place in it. Hence, supernaturally, Abraham and Sarah conceived and bore Isaac, the son of promise, the son whom it was told to Abraham, through this child, I will save the world. And, of course, Isaac was in the progeny of the Lord Jesus Christ. God did exactly what he said he was going to do with Isaac. But at this point in time, all Abraham had to go on was faith. God called him the second time and said, take your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And Abraham, knowing that this son was the son of promise, this was the one through which God had told him, I'm going to bring blessing to this world and blessing to you, Abraham, like the world has never seen. And the command comes from heaven. Abraham, take this son, your only son whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. Obedience to God. And I want you to hear me close on this. Obedience to God initially is rarely the pleasant experience that we think it ought to be. Sometimes God's going to call us to things that others aren't going to understand. And to look at this story even today, doesn't it stagger your mind to think that God, this is the God we serve, the God of great grace and mercy, would call a man to kill his only begotten son, or his only son. And of course, Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten son. But Abraham knew God's character. And that's the crux of what I believe the Holy Spirit once brought forth this morning. God's character. We must know God. And if you know God and you know and understand his ways and his grace and his mercy, you're going to know that ultimately he's going to bless you if you obey him. No matter how little sense it may make to you at the time, he gives the command. If you'll obey, there's going to be great blessing involved, not only for you, but for everybody. And it pained Abraham's heart. If you, let me be mean a little bit this morning. How many of you want to see your faith grow? I've just about every hand in here is raised up. Want to see your faith grow? How many of you want to go through a hellish experience to see that faith grow? Because that's the only way God can do it. That's the only way he can do it. Because he's got to rid us of ourselves. He's got to rid us of all trust in ourselves. He's got to bring us to the place where we know that, God, I believe what you've shown me, and I'm going to step out and obey you. But if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And he's going to call us to a very uncomfortable experience when he wants to grow our faith. You're never going to grow faith without a very uncomfortable and even hurtful for a time experience. Think of the call to Abraham to kill his only son. Think of how that might have crushed Abraham. And Abraham had the knowledge that Isaac was the son of promise. And the Holy Spirit didn't record it. But in the Word, Abraham had to have asked the Lord. Lord, this is what you told me you were going to bless me with, that the world was going to be blessed with the Redeemer through this son. And now you're asking me to kill him? It doesn't make a bit of sense to me, God. But Abraham knew and understood the character of God. He knew that God would be true to his promise no matter what. And that's why I had us read Hebrews 11:17, because it explains the great faith of Abraham, because Abraham had it in his mind that my God made a promise to me. My God told me that if I will obey him, he's going to bless me. And I don't understand it right now why he's telling me to go and kill my son. But if the Lord allows me to sacrifice him, God has promised me that through this child, the promise is going to come. And God Almighty will not fail on that promise. And he will raise him from the dead if need be to fulfill that promise. And I love it. You got to love it in Genesis 22. When Abraham in obedience launches out, and the Lord doesn't tell him where to go to sacrifice at. It's the second time this has happened in Abraham's life, where the Lord has just given him a very general direction. Abraham, go sacrifice Isaac to a place I'll show you. God always wants us operating in faith. God always, and faith necessitates that we don't know how God's going to do it. Faith just necessitates that we believe God will do it. And so Abraham launches out in faith. He travels 3 days. Think of that. 3 days. Abraham, Isaac, two servants, and a donkey. And Abraham's got 3 entire days to think about this command that the Lord has given him. Killing your only child. My, I can't get my mind around that. I'm going to be honest with you. How great a faith Abraham must have had in God and God's character. And now for 3 days, he's thought about it. And all of a sudden, now God gives the second very specific direction when they come to Mount Moriah. And Abraham sees it. And God speaks to him and says, there, go to the top of that mountain. There's where I want you to offer up Isaac. And he takes the wood, and he takes the other accoutrements of building an altar and lays it on the back of his son Isaac. And they begin the trek up Mount Moriah. Abraham, believing God, but his heart is pained. His heart is broken. But he's walking in faith. If we obey God first and we act in faith, God is going to supply. And Abraham knew this. He didn't know how. He didn't know how. I'm going to be blunt with you for just a minute and personal. And many of you will know and understand what I'm talking about. There's things going on in our family, in our life right now. I don't understand it all. I'm not going to stand here in front of you and act like I'm some spiritual guru giant and know. But I know this. I've got a command from God. I don't have the specifics, but I've got a command from God. And I'm going to obey him. Because I've learned that when you obey him, and you step out on faith, blessing is going to come to everybody. Blessing is going to come to everybody. And Abraham, as they're walking up the rough side of Mount Moriah, has that in his heart. And Isaac, his son, asks him, you got to love this, Father Abraham. Father Abraham, where is the sacrifice? I kind of think Isaac might have started figuring things out here. That, wait, this wood's on my back, and me and Dad are going up this mountain, and we ain't taking no lamb with us. Father, where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? And Abraham, in great faith, answers and says, my son, the Lord himself will provide. Let me paint this picture for you visually. Here's Abraham and Isaac coming up one side of Mount Moriah. On that rough side of Mount Moriah, there's fear in Abraham's heart. There's pain in Abraham's heart. Because he thinks God is calling him to do a horrible, horrible act that he doesn't understand. But he's acting in faith. He's obeying and he's acting in faith. But when you place obedience and faith and God and his word together, you're going to see an amazing blessing transpire. Because as Abraham and Isaac are coming up this side of that rough mountain, and they can't see the other side of it, on the other side of it is coming up a lamb. Do you see that? Their answer is on the other side of that mountain, even though they can't see it. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Coming up the other side of that mountain was the answer that God was providing. And they get to the top of the mountain. And Isaac, by now, has it figured out. And you got to see the faith of Isaac also. As Abraham built the altar, laid the wood out, and then the Bible says he tied Isaac to that altar. Isaac was willingly submitting to the will of God himself, even if it meant him being killed. Get this picture in your mind. Speaking of obedience to God and faith, even when we don't understand. Just trusting in him and his character, that if you obey him and believe him, he's going to bring about great blessing. And then the preparation for sacrifice is complete. And Abraham takes the knife. And I know he had to have big tears rolling down his cheeks. He's like, God, I don't understand this. It makes no sense at all to me why you're doing it this way. But he's in his mind, it's nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Just like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he went to the cross. And Abraham raises that knife, ready to plunge it into the heart of his only son. And the Bible says an angel from heaven then speaks. That was more than an angel. If you study the Hebrew translation, that was a pre-incarnate voice of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he calls to Abraham, calls him twice. Abraham, Abraham. He says, stay thy hand. Don't kill the boy, because I've provided for myself a sacrifice. And all of a sudden, Abraham looks. He looks up, and he sees over in the thicket of bushes a ram caught in those bushes. And he says, and he named the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Now watch this. I'm hurrying to a close here. I don't want to hold you too long this morning. Abraham and Isaac. Can you imagine Abraham's joy as he unties the hands of his son Isaac? And Isaac forevermore learns too what a great God he and his father serve. And they offer up the lamb or the ram. And they, you know, they had to have revival there on Mount Moriah. But let me tell you something about Mount Moriah. On one of the slopes of Mount Moriah is a place called Calvary, where some 4,000 years into the future, another son would carry the wood on his back up that hill of Mount Moriah to a place called Calvary. But this time, when Jesus Christ bore the cross that should have been ours up that mountain, there would be no cry from heaven, stay thy hand, as God himself would stand back and watch his only begotten son sacrifice for the sin of the world. And it was all because of Abraham's obedience and faith that through Isaac came this Redeemer. And after Abraham had obeyed the Lord and acted in faith, the word tells us that that voice comes from heaven a second time. And he says, blessing. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If every time God's getting ready to bless us, he's first going to break us. Because he wants us to know that what he does in our lives, only he can do it. We can have no part in it. It has to be all of him, none of us. But when he breaks us to that point, he's going to heal it. And he's going to bless us more than we ever thought we could have ever been blessed. Abraham not only received land, not only did he receive all the material goods of this life, he had the privilege of the Son of God being brought forth from his bloodline. What greater blessing could there be than that? Because he obeyed God. Because he had faith in God when he didn't understand. Because he knew the character of God, that God would care for him and God would fulfill his promise no matter what. That's what we need to know. That's what we need to know. But let me tell you this. This faith thing, it's very uncomfortable. Abraham would not trade anything for this experience that he had. What greater blessing could God give him? He would not trade anything for that experience. But it was a very painful and trying experience. Which, are you going through a painful, trying experience this morning? Look up. Put your faith in God. Obey him if he's told you something even you don't understand. Put your faith in him and know that he will fulfill his promise. He will fulfill his word. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be painful. But oh, the blessing. Glory to God. Oh, the blessing that we get when we obey him in faith. The blessing that's going to come will far exceed any hurt or any trouble that you had to go through. And you'll look back on it and you'll say, I wouldn't take anything for it. Don't want to go through it again. But I would not take anything for it. Because in my heart I have been shown by the hand of Almighty God. It has been indelibly inscribed upon my heart and in my spirit that the God I serve can be trusted. Hallelujah. Give Him a hand of praise. Glory to God. And you say, Pastor, I don't have that kind of faith this morning. None of us do. He had to give Abraham the faith. That's what a gracious God He is. Abraham, in and of his own self, would have never had the faith to obey God. But his willingness to obey God, as he stepped out, God gave him the faith. We as humans don't have that kind of faith. It just ain't in us. I'm sorry. You can listen to all the Word of Faith preachers on TV all you want to. They're feeding you garbage. The only faith we're going to ever get is going to be what He gives us. And we can't build it. Mike and I was talking about that poor pastor. We drove by his church. We went up to a revival meeting last night in Alger. And we drove past. And man, he's got a beautiful church. But as an act of faith, as he was trying to build his faith so he could raise the dead, his dog died. So he said, well, I want to start trying to raise my dog from the dead and build up to a human. And he had a collar around his dead dog, dragging it around his front yard, trying to believe God to raise it from the dead. That's no joke. This pastor said this on his tape. Now, how foolish is that? That's not faith. That's foolishness. You can't build faith on your own. God's got to do it in us. And that's this great message from Genesis today. Obey Him. Put your faith in Him, and He'll bless you. Even when you don't understand. Even when it hurts. And it's going to hurt. If your faith is going to be grown, God's going to take you through something. My Lord, I feel like preaching right now. Our time's almost up. I'm going to tell you something. When David walked out to face Goliath, I love what I heard one preacher say. It wasn't the stone, but David was using what he was familiar with that slingshot. But the anointing of God was on David, and David's faith was in God. If David could have got close enough to Goliath to spit on him, that would have killed him. Why? Because of the anointing and the faith of David. He knew his God was going to give him victory. You've got to love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in the fiery furnace when the king was getting ready to throw them in. They said, oh, king, you live forever. And our God may not deliver us from the fiery furnace, but He will deliver us out of your hand. Hallelujah. That's faith. It says, God, if God kills me and it ain't my time, He'll raise me from the dead. And He'll bless me if I'll believe Him. Praise God. Praise God. In the midst of your situation this morning, if you're serving God, He's not being mean to you. He wasn't being mean to Abraham. But He had to build faith in Abraham. And that process that we see in the life of Abraham is exactly the same. It's never changed. That's God's process for giving us that faith. Taking us through a very difficult, difficult circumstance and showing us you obeyed me, you had faith in me, and I blessed you. I took you through it. When you were scared, when you were trembling, I gave you faith and I carried you. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. I've got one message as I close to you from the Holy Spirit this morning. Don't quit. Don't quit. If you'll keep on believing Him, He's going to lead you to a place of blessing. Why? Because I know the character of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God who provides. Hallelujah. And what He did for Abraham, He'll do for anybody. If you'll follow the same path Abraham followed. If you'll obey Him. If you'll put your faith in Him. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. Praise God. Maybe you feel like Pastor Evans this morning in your personal situation. You're trapped on that elevator. Everybody all around you screaming and carrying on. But if you know Jesus, there's a phone there. Glory to God. There's a little phone there. And it's got a line directly to the throne of God if your faith is in Jesus. Praise the Lord. There's that old song they sang years ago. Mike, I believe John Starnes sang it. Royal Telephone. Central's never busy. It's always on the line. You can talk to Jesus just about any old time. It's built by God the Father for His loving own. You can talk to Jesus on that royal telephone. Hallelujah! Call on Him this morning. Believe Him this morning. Obey Him this morning. And watch Him bring you through and give you blessing like you've never known before. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. First, I want to ask you this morning, are you right with God? Are you right with God? Now, if you say, yes, Pastor, I'm right with God, I want to ask you a second question. Why are you right with God? Because the only way to be right with God is to have your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. If you're saying, I'm right with God because I try to be good, I'm right with God because I attend church on Easter and Christmas. Human works do not make us right before a holy God. We can never be good enough on our own. It took Jesus Christ bearing the cross and giving His life as a sacrifice, shedding His blood as a cleansing for our sin. And belief in what He did on the cross that day is the only way to be made right before God. I want to ask you this morning again, are you right with God? If you say, predicated upon what you've told me, Pastor, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. I want to be. He wants to make you right with Him. But you must obey Him. And the only way to be made right with Him is by faith in the atoning work, the cleansing work of Jesus Christ. On the cross, He took our place. He shed His precious blood so that our sins could be washed away. We will never be perfect. He was. And by placing your trust in what He did, God will then, God Almighty will account all of His righteousness to you. That's the only way to be right with God. I want to ask you again this morning, based on what I've just told you, are you right with God? If not, the Holy Spirit has appointed you to be here today so that He can make you right if you'll obey Him, if you'll let Him, by coming to Christ and placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Are there any here today who would say, Pastor, and I won't embarrass you, I promise. I won't make a spectacle out of you or call you up front with every head bowed and every eye closed. This is between you and God. Say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. My faith's not in Jesus Christ. My faith's been in my works, my goodness. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. Maybe you feel uncomfortable. The reason you're feeling uncomfortable, that's the Holy Spirit letting you know. You're not right with God because you've been trusting in something other than what Christ did on the cross. It's what we call conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's letting you know it's an act of love. It's not an act of meanness on God's part. It's an act of love. He's letting you know. You need Jesus. Are there any here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I promise I won't embarrass you, you would say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to put my faith in what He did for me on the cross today. Would you hold a hand up if that's you? God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. I see those hands. God bless you. Other hands going up. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. You may put them down now. I want to pray a prayer with you now, and the only reason I'm praying this with you, please, in reverence to the Holy Spirit, no moving right now, and everyone heads bowed and eyes closed. There's nothing magical in this prayer you're going to pray with me. The only reason I'm leading you in it is maybe you don't know the words to say to Him. You're beginning a new spiritual walk with God today, and maybe you don't know the right words to say to Him. And I'm just a more experienced Christian, live for Him a while longer, and I know what He needs and wants to hear from you. based upon His Word. That's why I'm leading you in this prayer. Don't put your faith in this prayer. Your faith must be in Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, and what He did on the cross. And I'm going to ask everyone who will, especially those of you who raised your hands, but I'm going to ask everyone to pray out loud with me right now. Would you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God in heaven, I come to You today. I am a sinner. I am unrighteous. I have not placed my trust in Your Son Jesus and what He did for me on the cross. But I know You're a God of grace and mercy. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me as I placed my faith in Jesus Christ and His blood shed for me. I give my heart, my soul, and my spirit over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, God, based upon Your Word, which cannot lie, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Savior and has washed my sins away. And I'm right before God because of my faith, not my works. Send Your Holy Spirit right now into my heart. And I will live for You and I will serve You all the days of my life. I believe in my heart that You raised Jesus from the dead. And He is seated at Your right hand, taking up for me now. Thank You, God, that You've heard my prayer. Thank You, Jesus, for giving Your life for me on the cross. Based upon the Word of God, which cannot lie, I'm washed. I'm clean. I'm right before God. I'm saved because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You for these precious souls today, Lord, that have come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we're dismissed now, I want to pray for those of you that lifted your hands. And we're not here to embarrass you, but the greatest thing that could have ever happened to you happened this morning. You were born again by the power of God. The Bible says, yes, give the Lord a hand of praise. Listen to this. The Bible says that if any person is in Christ Jesus, they're a new creature. Old things are passed away, all is made new. Now, I'm not going to try and get theological high and mighty with you here today, but you know what that means? You might think, well, I know there's still things about me that are imperfect. There are, but you know your faith is in Christ. And when you prayed that prayer, God Almighty took you and baptized you into Jesus Christ. That means now when God looks at you based on your faith alone, He no longer sees you. He sees the perfection of Jesus Christ. So you're a new creature this morning. It's a great thing. Hallelujah. It's a great thing. Hallelujah. Let us pray for you now. Would everyone bow their heads again? Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, today we come to You. And I thank You for these precious souls that have walked out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, that are new creatures in You, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, build a hedge of protection of Your Holy Spirit around them. Nurture them in Your care, Lord God. And Lord, show them what a glorious, glorious event has happened in their lives today. That their eternal destination has been changed. They're children of King Jesus now. We thank You for them. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Now, before we're dismissed, there may be others of you. This morning, this message was for you. You've been hurting. It's been tough. But know this, your God, if you'll just keep believing Him, He's in the process of working the greatest blessing you've ever known. Just keep believing Him. Through the pain, through the difficulty, keep walking with Him, saint of God. Keep believing Him, saint of God, because He's leading you to a place of greater blessing than you've ever known before. Let me pray for you now. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, minister unto each and every one in whom you're doing a faith-building work today. Though it be uncomfortable, though it be painful and difficult, Lord, the glory and the blessing that is going to come to them for obeying you and keeping their faith in you is going to negate and far exceed any pain or any difficulty that you've called them to go through. Bless them today, Lord Jesus, with this knowledge and give them the fortitude to keep on walking in faith, not by sight. For their ram is coming up the other side of that mountain they can't see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning?